Well, it's good to see those of you out with us this evening. If you will have your Bibles open to the book of Ruth, as has already been made mention. Thank Brother Paul for the prayer. Thank Brandon for those songs. Ruth is not a book that's easy to pick songs off of. There's not a lot of songs that go with the book of Ruth. But we're talking about Ruth's choice and Ruth's following this evening. So Brandon led songs about following, and I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you what we'll do each week is we will go through one chapter of the book of Ruth. So 4 weeks, 4 chapters. Tonight will be chapter 1. We're looking at Ruth's choice. In chapter 2, we'll look at Ruth's service. In chapter 3, we'll look at Ruth's plea. And then we'll wrap up chapter 4 with Ruth's joy. So those will be our 4 lessons. What we have in the book of Ruth is a period that's set when judges rule Israel. In verse 1 of chapter 1, we find it says, "Now it came to pass in the days which the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. We find over in Judges chapter 21 in verse 15 that this is an era that's been marked by immorality, idolatry, and war. What we find in the book of Ruth is this heartwarming story of devotion and faithfulness. It concerns a Moabite woman, Ruth, a pagan woman, who leaves her homeland to follow and live with her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi. God honors Ruth's commitment in this book by guiding her to the field of Boaz, a kinsman to Naomi, where she gathers grain and finds a place in the genealogy of Christ. Ruth is listed as one of the 4 women in Christ's genealogy over in Matthew chapter 1. It's been said by many people that this book serves 2 purposes. The first being to illustrate how Jehovah rewards those who make wise spiritual choices and show steadfast loyalty. Secondly, though, to explain how Ruth, a Moabite, came to be an ancestor of David and ultimately an ancestor of Christ, and why she's in the genealogy. Because it's so short, you can actually read the book in a one-time sitting. No chapter is more than about 23, 24 verses. It doesn't take any time to read this book, and we'll use it for the basis of our next several sermons. Tonight we're talking about Ruth's noble choice. We're going to break this up into sections, and we'll read in sections, but we will read the entire chapter this evening. The first point we want to make when we come to it, the first 5 verses... would be the faithful journey, sojourn to Moab, or in Moab. So read with me the first 5 verses. We've already read verse 1. We'll pick up verse 2. "The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And when they went to the country of Moab and remained there, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived. The woman survived her 2 sons and her husband." Famine's what causes this journey, we find out in verse 1. We already mentioned the setting is in the days of the judges, prior to the period of the kings of Israel. There's famine in the land of Judah, and this family of 4... leave Bethlehem to dwell in Moab. Now, Bethlehem is located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It was the birthplace of both David and Jesus. Moab is a country located due east of the Dead Sea. We've heard about Moab before in Genesis chapter 19 in verses 36 through 37. We find out there are some descendants of Lot there. Sometimes they are enemies, sometimes they're friends of Israel. We see this story repeat itself in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 through 30, and in 1 Samuel chapter 22, in verses 3 and 4. What we have here in this setting is we also have a family. You have Elimelech, the father, Naomi, the mother, and their 2 sons. Bethlehem was also known as Ephrathah, or Ephrah, and that's where that word Ephras comes, or Epaphras comes. Not sure I'm pronouncing it whichever way right, maybe neither. If you recognize that word, it's because it's in one of our prophecies we consistently go over on Wednesday nights. Micah 5 and in verse 2, where it says, "Out of Bethlehem, Epaphra," or Ephrath, it's both mentioned there when it's talking about a ruler would come up out of Bethlehem. You have the move that's been prompted by famine. Some have even gone so far as to say that this is indicating a lack of faith in God who made provision for His children. when they became impoverished. And you see him doing that in Leviticus chapter 25. We don't know the exact details of what's going on here, but something that happens, and you've heard it throughout life, I'm sure, death comes in threes. You heard that? Common saying in the South. Death comes in threes. You have a family member die, you have a friend die, and you're wondering who the third's going to be to round it out. Because death comes in threes. Well, in this story, death comes in threes. In just a short time, which it says, they dwelt there about 10 years, and then both these two men died. But in the context of what we're reading, in just a matter of verses, you have three deaths. You have the father, who leaves Naomi a widow with two sons. In the expository Bible commentary, it says, tradition suggests his death was punishment for greed or having forsaken his homeland. Don't necessarily know where they're getting that from. But there might be some play here. You notice every time that people in the Old Testament go further away from the land of God, it gets worse for them. You look at Jacob, and every time he went further away from the promised land, how bad it got for him, and how it would turn better as he turned back towards the land. Their sons marry Moabite women, pagan women, men not of the family, not of the line that God has dictated or shown. Marriages with women of Moab were strongly suspect, if not wrong. You find that Deuteronomy 23, 1 Kings 11, Nehemiah 13. They lived there about 10 years and then the sons die. Again, the expository Bible commentary suggests that it is due to them leaving Judah and their marriages to Moabite women. Leaving Naomi a widow and childless, she took it as divine judgment against her. Verse 13 of chapter 1. Would you wait for them till they are grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. In verses 20 and 21, it says, so they said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? What's happened is Elimelech and his sons have gone to Moabite to find bread, and instead they found their graves. Bereaved of her husband and two sons, Naomi gives thought to return to her homeland. Now we're going to read verses 6 down through... Let's do 6 through 9 to start. There's only 2 points in this lesson. And that's a faithful soldier into Moab, the setting behind it. And then the second one being the rest of the chapter. And that's the faithful return to Judah, which will have several points involving that. The first one being Naomi chooses to return home, verses 6 through 9. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord has dealt kindly with you, and you have dealt as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Naomi chooses to return home. The famine in Judah has ended. The Lord's blessings have returned. The Lord's given his people bread. And Naomi encourages her daughters-in-law to stay right where they're at. Stay in their culture. Stay at their home. They were on their way to leave, and she's encouraging them to return back to their own families. You go back onto your mother's home. And I want you to notice, Naomi prays kind blessings from God on them. Naomi is a different character. She's going to complain some, but she's also giving blessings from the Lord in this. She's trying to be kind to her daughter-in-laws, who have obviously have great affection for her and she them, and obviously have a tight bond together. She prays that God will treat them kindly because they were kind to her, that they may find rest in the homes of future husbands. And it prompts this sorrowful display with great affection. But what Ruth does, Ruth chooses to return with her. Ruth chooses not to just stay in Moab, but to go back with her mother-in-law. And that's verses 10 down through 18. And he said to her, "Surely we will." And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till you were grown? Or till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to return back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. At first, both show this interest that they want to go with Naomi. They're willing to return to their people. And what we have really is the Bible giving this beautiful picture of the family, of this family here. You have a highly spokenness here, speaking highly of their love for Naomi and their duty as daughter-in-laws. They're not passing off the buck. You know, it's funny in our culture today when someone dies and their spouse is left, it's as if they're not a part of that family anymore. In many families, if a husband and wife are married, and the wife dies, the husband is no longer considered part of the wife's family. Here they're not doing that. Here it's still family. And they're still trying to honor really their husbands and their mother-in-law. And they're trying to do their duty to each other. And Naomi tries her best to dissuade them. And let me tell you, if she was a car salesman, you wouldn't want to buy a car from her. Because look at what she says. "I've got no sons. I'm too old to have a husband. If I did have a husband and got pregnant tonight and had sons, you'd have to wait till they were much older for you to marry them." Sound like a good deal? Naomi's not trying to keep them there. She's trying to release them. And it grieves her to see them suffer because of what God is chastising her and what He's done. They can't bear to be a part of that. Orpha kisses her mother-in-law and she leaves. Ruth, however, clings to that mother-in-law. And Naomi tries once again to persuade her to return. Now I want to examine this choice. This is what we're talking about tonight. Ruth's choice. Look at it. She's going to go wherever Naomi goes. To live wherever Naomi lives. To make the people of Naomi her people. To make the God of Naomi her God. To die and be buried where Naomi is buried. And let nothing but death come between them. You know, in making such a choice, Ruth has become a proselyte to Judaism. Where are Ruths today? Where is this type of commitment? I want you to read verses 16 and 17 again with me. "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will be buried. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts you and me." Where's that attitude today? Look at Ruth's choice. If we could use the same language and put it in the New Testament, it would be a great statement on following Christ. That wherever you go, Christ, I will go. Wherever you need me to go, I will go. Wherever you want me to live, I will live. Your people will be my people. And it's sad that in the Lord's church that doesn't happen. Your God, the Father, is my God. Where you die and are buried, I will die and be buried. And nothing will come between us but death. You see the level of commitment Ruth has? You see the character of this Moabite woman? This pagan woman? Their culture would not have taught them that. Their culture would not have been this way. She's forsaking her own God, she's forsaking her own family, she's forsaking her upbringing to be a part of this family with Naomi. You see the great sacrifice on Ruth's part? She's forsaking everything she knows to go be with Naomi. Sometimes when we're looking for a great example of a follower, we don't often look in the Old Testament. Here's a lady who's striving to follow and making the noble choice that wherever you go, I will go. And Naomi realizes, and it's kind of one of those points, sometimes you just realize that it does no good to argue because of the determination. I admitted to someone one time, I said, I lost an argument and they knew I liked to argue and I'd argue till I won. They said, how did you lose an argument? I said, because after an hour, I knew it wasn't ending anytime soon. And so I just figured I'd finish it and give up. Sometimes people just become so determined, there's no changing their mind. And Naomi realizes that. And so she stops speaking to her, stops trying to dissuade her. And now you have the last part of this chapter, verses 19 through 21, or 22. Now when the two of them had come to Bethlehem, and it had happened, when they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them, and the woman said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Jerusalem at the beginning of barley harvest. Their arrival sparked some great excitement in the city. These people remember who she is. They remember Naomi. Hey, look, it's Naomi. The name Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. She is, in essence, changing her name from being pleasant to being bitter because she says the Lord has dealt with her bitterly. She left Judah full, had a family, had her sons that were going to keep their bellies full, and she's come back without her husband and her sons. She believes the Lord has afflicted her. This may be true. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 15 through 19 show some instances of this. But we know not all suffering is indicative of divine chastisement. Look at Job. Job had done nothing wrong, and yet he was afflicted severely. She believes she may have been the innocent victim of other sins. We don't know the exact idea. But what we do know is that Naomi and Ruth settle in Bethlehem. A woman without husbands and sons, and a Moabitess living in a strange land. Their arrival is at the beginning of this barley harvest, and that sets our scene for the next chapter that we'll get into the next time. These lessons won't be long, but if we were to put them all four together, it would be a very long lesson. It's a new beginning for Naomi and Ruth. So there's some applications we can make here. Choices come with consequences, sometimes good and sometimes bad. Elimelech and his sons made decisions. And while on paper they look like the perfect business decisions, you get out of town because there's nothing here. There's no food here. You go somewhere else. On paper that looks great. But ultimately left a motherless widow and to be in a strange land. Choices have consequences. Choices can also be good. Ruth makes a choice to leave family and false religion for the true God Almighty, one that would provide both temporal and eternal blessings, just as we learn about in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Sometimes the choice is not always right and wrong, but good and better. Any choice we make will be the right one if we'll keep the words of Jesus in mind. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Funny thing about choices. Ever look back on choices and think, what would have happened if I'd chosen something different? Ever wonder like that? We make choices every day, and they impact our lives. But the beautiful thing about choices is it gives us a new beginning. We can make a choice to be new. We can make a choice to change our lives. We can make a choice to change the way we act, the way we think. And it can give us a fresh start. Not in the eyes of man, no. But in the eyes of God. You look at Ruth's choice. Entreat me not to stop following or to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. When you die, I will die and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. There's different choices we can make in life. Sometimes we have to own up to the bad ones. But each day is a new day. Tomorrow is always a new day. And no matter how bad a day goes, that's the easiest way to get through it. Because tomorrow is a new day. My favorite Christmas movie was on last night. I have to watch it every year, multiple times. It's A Wonderful Life. And every time, at the very end, it just gets me so emotional. When you see the whole town run in to help save George Bailey. But the beautiful part of that movie is not that. It's realizing that choices can begin you something brand new. And the choices you make affect others. Same story here in Ruth. Same story here. Ruth's choice to follow Naomi and her God illustrates the truth of Jesus' words. All Jesus hasn't spoken, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. No, that's not been said yet. But Ruth is a prime story of how that happens. Because we know, for those of us who've already know the story, they'll get their land. Ruth will get another husband. And through their son and their grandson will come their great-grandson, King David. And the Son of Man is also referred to as the Son of David. The Son of God. Can we make good choices like Ruth? Can we put the idea of seeking first God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you? Everyone who's here tonight has a choice. You had a choice on whether or not you'd come and worship with us tonight. I'm glad you made the choice to be here. You know, we've got several empty pews. And that's where some people are out of town, some people are sick, and some people just simply didn't want to be here tonight. We've all got to make choices. What choice do you make tonight? If you're here and you never obeyed the gospel, why delay any further? Let angels sing redemption's sweet song as you obey the gospel tonight. Or you may be here and you need to make your life right because you're not living right. make the right choice tonight. Honor God, follow Jesus, and live for Him each day from now on. No matter what's happened in the past, you can make the choice to be right tonight. It's yours to make. We invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing the songs that's been selected.